Well, hey, Gundamaniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. It is that time of the week again where we talk Gundam. And by we, I mean myself, Adam Blue, and Steven of Midnight Hatter. What's up, man?
Not a lot. We've got power back, which is good. Still on water boil precautions, but you know that's not going to affect me from coming on the show with you tonight. So
survival mode, but yeah. Being on a show.
It's one of those things that, like, obviously it comes up in Gundam, right? Like when they ran out of salt on White Base.
Oh yeah,
I'm glad that they talk about some of the survivalist things that tend to come up in emergency situations.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because today I was thinking about a show I was watching that does excellent storytelling in regards to humanity. We'll get to that in a little bit, but it's Evangelion. We'll get to that in a little bit. I had another revelation watching.
You guys are just going to keep bullying me about that.
I don't know what's happening, but it's happening. No, it's going to be a cool show today because some really neat news dropped, a kind of news, an idea, rumor right before the show started. So I kind of changed the title a bit.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about Gundam Assemble just to get some surface level news. Although really, if you want to get a better breakdown about Gundam Assemble, because we're going to be talking about other stuff. If you haven't checked Midnight Hatter's channel, the video, not only our live stream, do we kind of get into it because you compare it to other game types, tabletop minis, you know, yeah. But also you have a video that you made too, and a really funny short. So if you guys haven't seen his content lately, go check it out.
But appreciate it.
Most of us have. So if you're like new here, because most of the regulars, we're all, you know, in the same circles and all that. So.
Right.
Hey, Lucas Garrett, good to see you. Glad to see you drop by. Oh, actually, then let me move this. Oh, no. Live moving things around. Okay. all right. So, but I guess what I was getting to is, we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the potential rumor or idea theory. Yeah, theory is the best word. That Haman is the main character in G-Quax.
So I've seen a lot of fun rumors going on Twitter today, or the app formerly known as Twitter.
I think X is a cool name, but it's just Twitter's just
it's become so ubiquitous with just saying the 280 character thing that we talk about. But yeah, no, over on X, people have been floating all kinds of conspiracy theories about G-Cux. And this is one of them.
We'll get into that here in a second. But then also there's some cool releases related to Wing that I want to show off that might make people more interested in this product than
after last night when you said that Wing was slop, you're gonna say
yeah, it's the good kind of slop, and we'll see you in a second. Also, we're gonna talk about PS2 Gundam games because there are so many good ones that it is absolutely insane. And I think on your show, I was talking a little bit about trying to play that UC Climax.
Yeah.
And I finally did. And beautiful. Oh boy, it's good for a lot of reasons. But okay. Yeah. To get started, usually I like to go through, you know, what we've been doing this week in general. Steven, between the power outages, boiling water.
Yeah, you know, boiling water, building Gundams by Gaslight, I guess. Maybe that's a sweet name for a podcast, Gundams by Gaslight.
But yeah, there's something there.
So I've got some Origin Zakus that I've been working on, and I've got some fun video content on this coming out soon because there's some modifications that I'm going to be doing to them. But one thing that I forgot to mention last night, I had them out, and I don't know why I didn't bring them out to show. I did post about them over on the community page. These little minifigures, this is the Zeta Gundam. I don't know if it'll be in focus for you folks that are watching on the video. So we've got the Zeta Gundam, and we've also got a Hijack. And these are miniatures that came with the 1987 Zeta Gundam Battle for Grips board game. So I can't believe that I forgot to bring that up when we were talking about Gundam Assemble, because here's another perfect example of gamified miniatures. They do come on runners too. Like you have to assemble them sort of like Gunpla. Oh. So it comes with a Hyakushiki, a Rick Diaz, a Hijack, Masala, Zeta Gundam, Gundam Mark II, and I think a Nemo.
Oh,
what's the last one? Maybe a Marisai.
Marisai.
Yeah, because it comes with four Titans units, four AU units. Very cool stuff. You know, I wish that they would bring this kind of stuff back, which I guess technically they are, right?
Yeah. No, they are, and that is pretty interesting. I like those little minis though, because they're unique. We were looking at a bunch of different minis on your show last night, and it's just cool how unique each one is, and that's the same with that. Have you seen anyone online paint them?
No, actually, I have not been able to even find any content whatsoever around this game.
Wow.
And so one of the things, I saw it on Board Game Geek, and, you know, there was kind of limited information, pictures of the rule book and sort of stuff like that. I have actually translated the rule book. I just needed to format it into, into the book format. But yeah, I mean, I think that this game is fun in theory, but maybe what if we did like a little paint along stream with these guys? Maybe I'll send a few to you.
Yeah, no, that's cool, because that's a good example of like painting a mini. It's almost like the artifact. It's reminding me of that too, because they're made for that.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And then in chat, real quick, bringing this up, Robert asking about the questions for the 100K subscriber milestone. Dang, I would love 100K. No, but for the 10K, no, I've got enough cool ones that I'm going to do a video. So there's time if anyone wants to. I have a post up in the YouTube community post thing of questions, or just send them to me or Twitter, because I want to start doing a Q&A. Because, again, I've like gathered so much knowledge of making content, YouTubing, and also researching Gundam and getting more and more into Gundam. I feel like there's so much to share that could be interesting. So,
yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that I noticed this week, like both the videos that I made and the videos that you made, I noticed that a lot of the comments, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to say like disinformation, but like there's a lot of like confusion about certain things. You know, people tend to get certain things wrong. And a lot of it is just because like the same sort of internet rumors get repeated over and over until they become true. And so definitely. It's nice, like, honestly, you've been one of the few folks that is really good about fact checking everything that you come across. You'll say like, hey, this is a rumor, this is not confirmed, but like,
right.
So yeah, props for
thank
that.
You because I like that, because there's sometimes I like things that aren't for sure, aren't facts. Mm-hmm. But I still like to play with it in my head. I'm like, sure, I'll make it like it's this because there's nothing that contradicts it and it sounds cool, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if I just don't like something, I just don't talk about it, you know. No. But yeah, so anything else Gundam this week, or is that about it?
No, I mean, that's been the big stuff. So what about you?
Cool. I did like a quick live stream on Monday because I got a package in the mail, or was it Tuesday? I forget. The days blend together. But of, you know, the Mobile Suit Ensemble, I got some more using that Surugaya website where you can get these really cheap. And it's funny. I swear it came to me like in 3 days. I couldn't believe it. It came to me the day before. There's no deliveries today. It's pretty neat that I got these on time. Yeah, there was a whole lot. So if you watch that unboxing I did, but basically a GPO-1FB, which is a badass. In general, it's just a badass style mobile suit because I love the back stuff going on.
Yeah.
F-91, which huge fan of F-91. And then I know you're not.
Why?
I know, right? What's up with that?
Matters.
What's up with you? Shouldn't you be embarrassed? No, but and then this impulse, which it's seed. But this is like so neat. Like that but sword.
It's not just seed. It's seed destiny. Which
I
got into a huge argument with people on Discord the other day because, you know, obviously there was a lot of seed hate, and I was like, look, you know what? You think that seed lovers should be banished to the underworld, but I'll tell you what, I have two kids and I am going to make them watch Seed Destiny. I'm actually not going to let them watch Seed. They're only going to watch Seed Destiny. And then that way they're going to be Seed Destiny fans.
Dude, you could change the world. You could, one child at a time.
One child at a time. So it's like, we're going to pretend Seed doesn't exist. It's only Seed Destiny. Shin is the main character. I don't care.
Dude, I love that. I love that whole thing. Yeah, and that's another cool thing about this mobile suit ensemble being so small, that it has that whole backpack thing. I mean, it's multiple pieces. I mean, it's articulated. I don't want to make it come apart, but like all the little binders are articulated, and the sword was like four pieces to put together. So it's just neat how much this is like building Gunpla. They're small, detailed, all that.
Yeah, man.
And then I'm trying to think. Yeah, I've been playing a little bit of Gundam Breaker 4. Just trying to kind of, yeah, pretty much farm away. I'm in that zone where it's fun to jump into some Gundam Breaker 4.
Yeah.
And then I played a Gundam PS2 game, a couple of them, but we'll talk about that in a later segment. But I do want to talk about Evangelion, if I am saying it correctly.
Oh, jeez.
So, no, so, yeah, and that's the thing. I never watched this growing up. Always heard about it. You know, the anime kids always talked about it. I just ignored it. I see it referenced everywhere. I see Evangelion stuff. I knew of and had seen more Evangelion stuff than Gundam.
Yeah. Just, I mean, it's always like the congratulations, right?
Yeah. It's like everything that would be like Japanese mecha would be that, right? And so tried watching it, couldn't get into it. But I've been watching it recently. And one main thing I realized, I was watching episode 5 last night, is it is structured exactly like, okay, Shin Godzilla is literally just a live action Evangelion. Yeah. Like the way the characters interact and how they're interacting, and then the monster of the week moment happens where then they're in the middle of something and, oh, there's attack. But then like the action just starts, you know, it's not like where it's a buildup to it necessarily. It's normally they're already going out there to fight. So they're in the middle of their characterizations and then they're going to battle, but those characterization plots are carried through, you know, the battle. It's very interesting. He does a really good job with storytelling. I can tell he has a thing, like a specific style now, more than I understood before, because I had seen a few of his works, but never really, you know, picked up on anything. But I have now. So yeah, I'll keep finishing it, or I'll keep watching it, and eventually maybe finish it. Yeah, and talk.
Well, so how would you feel about this? Because I still need to finish up the old real grade Justice Gundam that was provided to me by our mutual friend Ultronimus. During the last stream, he was actually promoting and trying to convince me to watch Evangelion. And yeah. So now that you are 5 episodes in, I think that we should probably just get the three of us together, because one of the questions that I posited to Ultronimus is, well, why not, instead of G-Cux, let's just call it Shin Gundam, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I made the title of, or on one of my things. Yeah,
yeah. And he had the most excellent and articulate explanation for why it shouldn't be that. Okay. And I was like, okay, you know, this is very convincing, right? Because it's not just his take on what Gundam would be, you know, it's his own thing. Like G-Quax is his own, is Anno's own version of Gundam, as opposed to like Shin Godzilla or Shin Ultraman, where it's like a, you know, this is their thing, but Anno's just a part of it. If that makes sense, there's a sense of ownership over the things that are not a Shin.
I see what you're saying, maybe, because Shin Godzilla does feel exactly like Evangelion. Like it's exactly like it came to me last night in terms of the shots, in terms of how either a concept and area or people like fast paced introduced with title cards. Like it's saying we're here, it's this person. And then like they're like, okay, how do we plan to do this? So then, and then like then they have to work through people to get things done. And then all of a sudden one of the kaiju shows up. And it's exactly like how Shin Godzilla plays.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. But that would be the thing if he was to do Gundam in that format, because what's interesting, I think he does with Evangelion is he's actually taking his love of Godzilla and Gundam and putting it together, because you have the EVA unit, which if you look at it head on, it almost looks like a monster, but it does have that fin that kind of goes back to giving it that robot look.
And the chin almost looks like an open mouth, right? It's like,
yeah,
ah. Yeah,
exactly. And so what's happening then is you're seeing the kaiju come in and fight. And yeah, it's very, So like if it was going to be Gundam, it's like, okay, would he make then, is the idea to make the Gundam come off as the monster? Because what he's marrying is the character stories that are very personal to then here's a kaiju attack. And it's not like they're, he does a good job of making them kind of just happen out of nowhere without there needing to be some like explanation. Like he's able to make it where that stuff is happening in the world that doesn't,
he doesn't go Kojima with it, where it's like, right. I have to over explain.
Exactly. Which is funny because they've worked together. I know they work together.
I'm pretty sure, which is so fascinating to me because it's like you think about, so my daughter's been sick this week, and so she's been home with us, and I had her watch The Land Before. I promise this tangent has a point. So I had her watch The Land Before Time because it's free on Amazon Prime, and my wife and I both loved Land Before Time growing up. Land Before Time was produced by George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, which I didn't realize when I was a kid, but like you think about it, and those types of auteur director partnerships very rarely happen in the United States and or in the West, you know, whereas in Japan, you've had partnerships between like a Tomino and an Anno. You've had partnerships between like a Kojima and an Anno.
Yeah.
A Kojima Tomino partnership would be a frightening.
be absolutely insane.
But that's a topic for another podcast.
Yeah.
So it's just an interesting thing that like Anno has had his hands in so many popular franchises. He's worked with so many visionary directors and visionary producers. It's kind of impressive. And it's, I think, because one of the things we've talked about is that Anno is such a fanboy himself. Like, he's basically living every anime fan's dream.
Yeah, really. I mean, I found out recently in the 80s, he filmed a Godzilla fan film, or he worked on one, and they used that plot when one of his buddies that got to work on a Godzilla movie made part of that the plot. It's interesting how all that works.
That's wild.
So since we're talking about, this dude, what I wanted to talk about was, I guess, what's going on Twitter. Zionic American, I believe their name is, posted this in the Discord, linked from Zionic Scanlations, translating this post showing that, you know, they're showing the main character with the pink hair and what her pilot outfit looks like and how the pilot outfit looks like the Kublai. I mean, and the character looks like Haman Karn. The timeline matches up. Mm-hmm. And to me, this makes complete sense for thinking, okay, yeah, where would Haman Karn be at this point in the war? Because wasn't her father the one that was the, what, prime minister? What do they call it?
He was like a steward, something like a.
Oh, okay.
I forget what the
high-ranking official.
Yes.
Within the principle. Republic of Zeon.
Yeah, like a proxy leadership, something like that. I don't know what the...
Right. And so, with that going on, like you would think then, she would be kind of... And that's what my question was coming into the GQuacks with the story is how much is it going to be involved with that greater world, the conflict between the sides? Is it going to be a Zeon versus Federation thing? And it's like, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, but... Now that she's potentially the main character, it makes me think it could still be.
And if I may, what's interesting is if that is the case, like if we're going to kind of speculate down this rabbit hole, you know, this is obviously like a rebellious teenager. She falls in with a group of, you know, illegal Gundam battles, right? Like this like guerrilla, like, you know, Gundam racing team, whatever, like the black market of Gundams. Is she this universe's quest? Like, does Haman?
No. I don't want them to make me hate the character.
And that's exactly why I make the connection, is I'm trying to dispel you from this silliness.
But I mean, where are they going to go with that? Because I wonder how they're going to, how the new type phenomenon, is it going to be more embraced? Are they going to do it where new types are thought of as superior. Like, you know, I feel like in Seed, they really made it where coordinators felt like superior, like it was kind of a thing. And I wonder if maybe that's the direction they'll go with new types with this, because Principality of Xeon was all about the basis of a new type, even though it's not 100% accurate, is about being in space and then being independent. We found out there's plenty of people that develop new type abilities on Earth, like the three, I forget what they call them, the special, you know, from narrative.
Right.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. So it could be like there's a new interesting take on the new type where maybe they're hunted down. Maybe it's a conspiracy that they don't exist. It's interesting that I think most UC Gundam has mainly made it where new types exist and people are like, wow, new types exist. But it's never been like, why do new types exist? Or what does this mean for society? You know, they've never really dived into that, which there's a chance for them to do that here or even in another UC story. That would be an interesting angle. And then to read from Xeonic Scanlation's theory he put together, that the main character's true identity is Haman. The release of the preview is on her, or PV, is it? Yeah. I don't know what
preview
is. Okay. Is on her birthday. Let's see. And then the movie drops on her you know what date.
No, what I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know what. Her pilot suit is Ghibli Color 2. Nyan seems like a Lala parallel. Shuji could be Paptimus. The poster does frame him by the O in it. I mean, then we're getting to those crazy GTA 6 conspiracies where the timing of a license plate in the video means that's the date.
Well, that's so one of the things that I've been floating around is how Trace Kushranada. What did you pull this up intentionally?
Oh, wow. That's funny that that happened. So this is not being shared right now, but we're going to talk about this here in a second.
Wild.
So that is crazy.
I was about to bring up the Epion because I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but the new type connection here, like Adam and I are vibing it's on the biosensor. So one of the things that I've been floating around is how the Gundam Epion is Trace Kushranada's love letter to Lady Un. In a lot of ways, because at the time that the Epion was created, Lady Un was, it was after she had been shot. She's like been injured. They don't know if she's going to survive. And what's fascinating about the Epion is that it stands out among all the Gundams in its color scheme. Its color scheme doesn't quite make sense unless you look at it side by side with Lady Un in her Oz uniform. And she's the only Oz officer that wears that maroon brown color. She's got white tights, and so the Epion has like a white pant legs and then like thigh high boots, essentially. So the Epion basically is Lady Un, and Trace Kushranada designed the Epion to look like her in his weird moment of like realizing, hey, I'm actually a human, you know, I do have feelings. And so the reason I find that fascinating is because Xeonic Scanlations clearly drew the same parallels between the pilot outfit and the Cubile. So,
yeah, which I think is great. I really like this if they're going down that direction.
It's quite a rabbit hole. And that's not the only GQuax conspiracy theory out there. Have you?
Oh, what's another one?
So speaking of UC characters who are kind of missing from the GCux universe, have you heard the talk about like the AI module from the Gundam and how the main character is holding it in the preview?
Oh, wow.
So the little, she's holding a box in the preview. Like she holds up this little box. And what's fascinating about it is that that box is the same box that Tem Ray is handing to Amuro after being out in space. So it's like the Gundam AI module upgrade.
The one that he handed to him, but then when he ran down the street, didn't he throw it?
Yes.
And he didn't go back and pick it up?
No.
Yeah, okay, so that's interesting. So,
again, you know, if we're going to go down the conspiracy rabbit hole, like, you know, is Tem Ray alive in this universe? Is Amuro Ray alive in this universe? Did
the change happened somewhere maybe earlier before the end of the 1 year war?
Something.
For them. Wow, that's really cool. That I'm glad you brought that up because I did not see that, and I had watched it recently and was thinking, okay, what actually happens to this module? And he just he's mad at his dad and just like throws it.
Right. Because obviously his dad's got like the space sickness and.
Yeah. Sad interesting. Stuff. That's really cool, man. But you know what? And then speaking of, our new type powers, what was just coming up is, you know, this is pretty cool because I've talked about the Gundam Universe figures before. And I find it shocking that it seems like they're doubling down on them because they're coming out with this sick looking Epion.
It's so good looking.
The paint on it, and this is supposed to be with the new, I guess, inner frame or articulation that there's that new RX-78-2 and Unicorn coming out in a couple months. And so this is a new one. Now, there's also a shot. Okay, here's some more shots for those that are watching. Like, I'm going to buy this. This looks great.
This is the first time they've made like a metallic finish Gundam Universe figure.
No, actually.
Oh, really?
They have like an Amazon exclusive, I want to say it's a Shining Gundam.
Oh,
that's gold.
Yeah,
something like that. So not like where they, well, you know what? The new Gundam I have has metallic gold. So like they will do that with special editions.
Yeah.
But yeah, to have a release like this, and I think it looks amazing. And then they have the wing, which is it like wing zero? Is that like the, okay.
But this is the anime version, not the Endless Waltz version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it looks great too. And I wonder if it transforms. That's the one thing. I'm not too crazy about wing, but I love the wing binders on this type of wing. It really just gives off the aircraft type of thing going on.
And I always loved the anime version more than the Endless Waltz version because like the feather wings look so silly, but this looks, you know, very.
That's what's interesting because it's like you get Kunio Okawara, which I'm assuming he did these designs.
Yeah.
What he's doing is he's taking his machining background and making it seem mechanical. But then I think what Kotoki does is he tries to, modernize mechanical.
And he gives it long legs.
Yeah. But it's like, he stylizes mechanical, whereas Kunio Okawara is not stylizing mechanical. He is taking a style and making it mechanical. Like the Gundam was a samurai, for instance. Yeah. You know, and so I think then what the problem is with Wing Endless Waltz designs is the idea that he took something fantastical, more stylized, you know, wing, and then making the mechanical designs and then kind of reverting back to where it doesn't make sense too much. Because I agree, wing in general, not too crazy about, but I do think the anime stuff is better.
I'm going to like do exposure therapy on you. It's going to be like a Clockwork Orange where I'm just like holding your eyes open and making you watch Wing until you appreciate it.
No, but I told you recently that like I started having nostalgia for like it is creeping back. It's like what's happening with the seed stuff. It's like,
there's a charm to it.
Yeah, there is definitely. But anyway, like these Gundam Universe figures, I feel like Bandai has decided to go all in. I didn't know if they would cheap out on these, but I feel like they are making them better.
And I'm glad they are because, you know, one of the things that we kind of talked about last night and sort of alluded to across all Bandai Gundam lines is that they have a stamina problem, right? Every line seems to last like 5 to 10 years and then they kill it. So I hope that the Gundam Universe line is like their line going forward. And then at least, you know, I don't care if you have to re-release certain models as new technology improves, if you have like better, better articulation, things like that, but, you know, stop cutting the lines off at the knees and saying, well, we're only going to make the top five most popular Gundams and then we're going to kill it and then move to a different project.
And then do the top five most popular Gundams. Right. You know, I know what you mean.
That's what everyone's complaining about is it's like, how many times are we going to get the GM is like shunned?
Yeah, you know, exactly. There's not a Gundam Universe GM.
No.
It's ridiculous. They should actually make it a two pack. There you go. Army build. So there's that. Okay. Real quick, we're going to move on to Gundam Assemble. So this is something that was just announced recently. Basically, it's Gundam finally, or Bandai, taking down all the notes from when watching Steven and I's shows of how to put together a miniature. And this is what they came out with. And to be honest, I think it's pretty cool because they're what, 2 inch or three?
Yeah, about 2 inches.
Okay. And they're on runners. So you're actually still building them.
Yeah.
And I think the fun part of it is the painting, the main part of it. And I'm actually, and you know how we were recently talking about over in, like, I guess somewhere in Europe or the UK, Bandai was working with Warhammer miniature content creators and like sending them Gunpla.
Yeah. Rogue
they
Hobbies.
Were priming this.
Oh,
or they were priming them for this because, you know, and so another thing that, you know, there's a video about it. Oh, and actually, in fact, if people want some more information, watch Steven's video on the Midnight Hatter channel. There's like a mat with the hexes on it. They've even showed it being used with the new Gundam card game. So there's that element to it.
Yeah.
So, you know,
folks have shared that, like, maybe the hex bases are exclusive to the game, whereas like the round bases that are shown with the card game are exclusive to just the cards, which I haven't seen any official sources on that, but, you know, take at this point, there's not a whole lot of official information to go off of. So it's like, we're all kind of speculating.
Well, did they show circle bases live? Because I saw the circle bases in promo shots, but not in. Okay.
So
making me think they changed.
I think that they have been prototyping. So this is my speculation, is that I think that they've been prototyping these for a long time. And before the rules of the game had come out, they had the idea of using circular bases. And so the partnership that's being announced with the card game, they were using like the prototypes from the previous version of the game. Yeah. And that the final version of the game is going to have the hex bases. However, again, other content creators have suggested that those circular bases are exclusive to the card game. But, and I mean, this goes back to the whole idea of like, does the base shape of the unit matter? And we can't even speculate on that yet because we don't have a copy of the rules.
And man, I'm hoping that like that's a part of it, because I would love that. And it's so funny, you brought up something to me, like you explained something about me yesterday that I didn't even know. It was about the JRPG thing. I think you did a better job of succinctly explaining that we're just not into a combat system where it's more of like straightforward. Okay, that's the enemy, attack them. And we like positioning. I like real-time positioning. I like to strafe around. That's my big thing when I play a game. Okay, what are the maneuvering mechanics on this that I can utilize to... Like, I was playing the Godzilla PS4 game online for the first time today against someone else. It's all about positioning. Just because you're so slow, everything has wind up, and it's like, okay, I got a time and position.
You'd love the video game Kengo, Legend of the Nine. It's technically like a fighting game. It's a side by side fighting game, but it's in 3D. It was on the Xbox 360, but it's a slow fighting game because it's samurai, and the fights maybe last like 30 seconds, because as soon as somebody's exposed, you can turn them around and slice them with a katana and they're dead. Like there's no like life bar that you can manipulate.
I want to say I've played that. Oh yeah, if not, I'm gonna have to check it out anyway.
Because that would be a cool game to have a tournament of, because I think we could have a lot of fun with.
Oh, okay. Because of the multiplayer aspect.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, so one of the things that I talk about is like, you know, I'm a big fan of the game HeroScape, and what's fascinating about HeroScape is that on the cards, it shows like what is the point of visual on the unit, like what's their head, and then what is a hittable target on the body. And especially because HeroScape uses 3D terrain, you have to like basically say, okay, is this unit in line of sight? And the only way to determine that is like looking from the perspective of the miniature from their head. Can you see any of the hittable targets on the miniature figure? So like, and so like, if we were to take an example straight from this lineup of mobile suits, the full armor Gundam Unicorn, the Beam Saber effect swipe would not be considered a hittable target. So like if it was poised behind a building or something like that, and you were playing HeroScape, like HeroScape rules, if you could only see the Beam Saber, you could not hit that target. And you would have to say like, all right, that's not a target that's in range. I have to aim at something else. And it's like,
wow, that's a lot deeper than I thought.
It's very deep. Like, you know, and this is one of the reasons that I think like HeroScape rules are very perfect for adapting a Gundam miniatures game. And
HeroScape is still played, correct?
So they're actually bringing it back, I heard. Unfortunately, it's going to be much more expensive and less and a lot less features. So, you know,
that's how it happens.
isn't that how it goes? But one of the things I loved about HeroScape is it's very much like Xeonic Front in that you have to plan your moves at the beginning of every round. So like, for instance, you'll put markers on all of your cards, like all of your units, and you have to decide what you're going to do with them before the round starts. And then you kind of go around the circle and everybody makes their moves. And so like, maybe
I don't know if I like that. You know, because I would think more what each move is a reaction, the whole group.
Think of it like you're Garmazabi and you're in the Gao carrier and you're issuing orders to your Zaku units down on the ground. And you say, I want this Zaku unit to go there. I want this Zaku unit to go there. And I want this Zaku unit to attack the Gundam. But midway through what's happening, the Gundam might destroy that Zaku unit. And so it's like, you can't issue orders while something's happening. So it's like, you're basically like a commander issuing orders to your army.
You know what? That gives it a real-time element.
It's totally tactical.
Yeah. I like that then. I'm glad you explained it as in you're issuing, you are really the commander. You have to issue the orders. And then they have to act on them. And that's really neat. So, yeah, you know what, for sure, like, and who knows how the game is. I might get the game, never play it, not care, but I'm going to buy these minis. I think there's a lot of cool.
The hell out of them.
there's a lot of cool aspects. It's building, painting, and, you know, I've talked about it on this channel a lot. I love painting little details. I like stuff like this, and so I'm totally.
Now, would you say that you prefer painting, like, miniatures to painting Gunpla?
Yes and no. I like painting Gunpla if it's not something where it requires me to completely redo it. I like it, for instance, what was one I did recently? I'm really bad with that. Oh, the Requiem for Vengeance ones. I loved where any little place I can, I do detailing. I love doing that. I think what's going to be easy with these is I can get a spray can, do the base that I need, and then go in and do the details. Whereas with the Gunpla, it's a lot of bigger surface areas, taking it apart. I think it's the time versus what I'm actually committing myself to doing is an imbalance. Like, I envy the people that airbrush all the time because they must enjoy the process of setting it up, making sure it's in an environment that's safe, mixing the paints right, cleaning the airbrush, doing the work. You know, that is a lot of work. And I think it's very satisfactory. And that's, I guess this is a good way to put it. I'm not the painter, you know, like Undergated Crew or Luke, like where their finished product looks like all the time it takes to set up the airbrush. You know what I mean? Whereas my finished products are more the accuracy of the, you know, and so I don't need to commit the time. And I think that's where that comes from.
Well, you know what's so another great Instagrammer, Gunpla Razi, is famous for his tape pulls, right? So like he does a lot of masking and then he'll airbrush and then like the satisfying look when he pulls the masking tape off and you see what the finished part looks like. It reminds me of like a Dark Souls boss, where it's like the buildup, the masking tape, the like all of the prep work to do what you're doing, it sucks. It's no fun. You're going to die tons of times doing it. But then when you finally get that tape pull and you get the look of like, that's the finished Gundam part, that's the same as beating a Dark Souls boss. And you're like,
100%. I love this analogy. It's a complete.
That's millennia right there.
And I don't know if there's a millennia. Yeah. I don't know if there's a term for this when you have completed a Gunpla, but you've also completely spray painted it. Like, I always like to find terms for stuff and completely detailed it. Now, like me, I detail them, but I don't do a complete paint coat because there's a lot. When you do a complete paint coat, you also are almost defining texture as well. You're getting texture. You're getting more. It's a better end result. Even though, you know, for me, I'm fine with not doing it. But I wonder if there's a word for that, where you completely airbrush and detail. But anyway.
Yeah.
Regardless of that, like, that's what I like about these minis, where I'm going to be able to kind of go all out because it's a little easier for me, less time consuming. Get to the action. I'm trying to think any other interesting tidbits. Oh yeah, something else is that it has different universes. You know, right. I don't mind. It would be interesting to see what the game is like. Like, does narrative matter? Like, if I was making the game that I would be playing, I would have a bunch of GMs, I would have a bunch of gun cannons, gun tanks, and the RX-72 is like the commander, and then I have to think, how am I going to position them, and then I'd be against like a bunch of Zaku 2s and a commander, you know, and that's like a story to me, because it's like, okay, this is a battle, and it's not just about the individual, but it's about there's a group, an army, you know, army building. So this is less about army building, you know, and so that's another interesting, like, is the army building aspect of games kind of missing, other than like Warhammer? Because isn't Warhammer really about?
That's like, I think the whole of it, right, is building your perfect army squad.
Yeah, but like when you play like a Gundam game, it doesn't always evoke that feeling of like. What was it, Odessa, where there's just all of this stuff on the battlefield. It doesn't matter what the battlefield looks like because it's just full of weapons, you know.
It's just a mess. Well, yeah. You know, this again, I'm gonna keep shilling for HeroScape just because I think it was an underappreciated game. One of the things that like the master sets come with is they come with a book of scenarios that you can play out with the miniatures. And then even the expansion sets, like there was an expansion set that came with like it came with some like troll character, and it was a bridge, and it came with all of the parts to construct this bridge. You look in the instruction manual and it's kind of like Legos where you're like, okay, how many layers do I have to create this bridge? And it came with a scenario that's like, defend this bridge from the attackers that are trying to take it down. So one player plays as like the attacking forces trying to destroy the bridge that is, you know, it's being used to transport supplies and things like that. And then another player plays as the people defending the bridge. And having those objectives in a tabletop game, which I know Warhammer does, but like,
okay,
the fact that it's in the rule books, it's like,
hey, I like that. You
know, can you imagine? It's like Gundam Assemble, you have a rule book, like rule set that's like within 15 rounds of turns, right? One player has to take down the Dobde carrier, or the other player has to defend the Dobde character, and that decides the Battle of Odessa. Build whatever team you like.
Yeah.
But here's the objective. And so it's like you might lose half your forces and the other player is winning. But if you still defend the Dobde for 15 rounds, you win the game. Like that is cool to me.
Yeah, what you're talking about right there is cool. It'll be really interesting. I'm excited. And the other thing I want to end with on this news item is what I hope this does for Gundam, because it is, you know, we've talked about what does the brand need to do to kind of reach out and get new fans, but kind of be true to what it is. Like, I hate always dogging on the formula racing thing, but while that's cool, that didn't really do anything for the brand. It didn't really, like, this is now getting maybe a whole generation of people that are into miniatures learn about Gundam, and then they might like building the little things and like, oh, I could build bigger ones and, you know, get them into Gunpla, get them into the shows. You know, I
Just judging from the number of Warhammer YouTubers and like miniature gaming YouTubers that have latched onto this,
yeah,
I'm very excited just for the potential of it.
Same here. I really think it's going to be big. So good job, Bandai. Wow. Okay. So next up, I want to talk about PS2 video games because, like, there really are so many good Gundam video games out there. And my mind goes everywhere, you know, and it's like, okay,
age of Gundam games.
What's that?
The golden age of Gundam games.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was thinking, because it's like, I want to settle on one platform to play through the library. And I really do think PS2 is the platform to go for, because I feel like, yeah, golden age, not only for Gundam, but I think for the gaming, in a way, for gaming, because that was where AAA budgets weren't a mess, where you can make a AAA game. You can make a licensed game, and money wasn't too much of an issue during those times because they weren't going crazy. And a lot of things were artist led.
Right.
So let me talk real quick about something that's kind of related to Gundam. It's a game on PS4. I was playing it over on my Blue Gamer channel this morning. Did you happen to check that out when I was playing it?
No, I missed it. I was, powered down.
Oh, no. That's right. Yeah. But this game is called City Shrouded in Shadow. And the idea is you are just a person in the city walking around. And then it's any big kaiju from the Japanese properties could show up and start wrecking havoc. And it made me think of how neat it would be for some Gundam games to embrace being a person running around with the Gundams around, you know, or mobile suits. GBO2 does that somewhat because you can get out of your pilot, you know, or you can be the pilot and getting out of the
mobile. You will die very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you're running around in the lobby, it's not like they're moving around. I mean, there's some background stuff, but it's not like, so in this game, I had Ultraman step on me, and some people might like that, but you know,
a little too much. There are people that pay for that.
No, right. But and then another time you die and then you come back. And then I was running and it was just the fire from a car, I think, burned off my jacket. And so I didn't have my jacket anymore.
Oh,
yeah. And it just made me think, like, because I think what Gundam does very well is the disaster scenarios. And I don't think there's ever been a Gundam game where you felt like you were in a disaster scenario, because normally you're in the mobile suit. But I like the idea of like a Gundam game starts and it's like, we're under attack. Pilots, get to your mobile suit. And your maybe ship is being attacked as you're trying to get to the hangar. And there's explosions along the way and fire busting through vents. And you're trying to get, like, that would set up the sort of excitement for the player to finally get in their mobile suit.
Yeah, it elevates the stakes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so what was cool about, you know, like you mentioned, the golden age of Gundam, there was a bunch of different cool Gundam games that came out on the PS2. What was interesting is I used AI to help. I said, can you list, you know, all the Gundam games on PS2? And they gave me this list. And I was like,
which is crazy. I don't think it's like peak.
Well, I was like, I don't think that's all the PS2 Gundam games. So I'm like, can you list more, please? And then I sent the wiki link.
Okay.
And then they added more, and I'm like, can you please add every PS2 Gundam game? And then, let's see, it still didn't have them all because I counted them. It was 27, and there was 16 here.
Mm.
So then I was like, the link provides 27 games. Can you add all 27? And then I keep saying she. Why am I assuming this is a girl? She did. But she didn't add. So I go, is Mobile Suit Gundam the one you were on the list? And she goes, you're absolutely right to bring that up. Like, this is not the type of conversation I wanted to have with an AI. I just wanted it to, like, it's almost like I was checking my work of someone or checking the work of someone. Be like, which I guess you should do with AI.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you brought this up and that you did speak to an AI about this, because, man, I went to BJ's Wholesale Club today and they had like a robot going around checking prices and inventory on stuff. And it was like chirping. It was like beep, boop, beep, boop, 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 boop.
What in the world?
It was, I was like, wow. I was like, we're living in Star Wars, aren't we? This is this is a goddamn gonk droid. Walking around scanning inventory, and it's chirping at me like it's R2-D2 saying, like,
wow, that's BJ's. Isn't that a,
it's kind of like Costco or a Sam's Club.
Oh, okay. It's like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, so going to this PS2 games, you know, we get Journey to Jaburo, which I haven't played all of, but I'm familiar with it. Like, it's I've started it.
Yeah.
Federation versus Zeon.
Peak.
Okay. And then Zeonic Front, which I think is one of your favorites.
I mean, it's probably the best.
It's the best. Okay. Yeah, because that's the one I've played, and it is very hard. Like, I have to plan to just sit down and take my time.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of combat strategy and planning that goes on with Zeonic Front.
Okay. So, Encounters in Space, that's actually the one that I played through completely. I loved it.
Which, like, is funny because that's the one that I did not make it through. But I know that our mutual friend Ultronimus, that's like his favorite one because the 0083 game.
Yeah, that's right. Because it does the original story, but then it has all that other content. I like that one. And then I think one of your favorites too, right? The Gundam versus Zeta Gundam.
Yeah. The absolute best Gundam game ever made.
What about Zeonic Front?
Well, that's the best Gundam game ever made. So. I don't understand what are we talking about?
Question. That's awesome. Okay, and then we get to a Seed game. So by 2004, you know, they had a game for, and I haven't played any of the Seed games. Have you?
So I actually did play Neverending Tomorrow. It was funny because my parents bought it for me. They knew that I loved Gundam, but they didn't know that I didn't like Gundam Seed, and so they bought me Neverending Tomorrow.
Why'd you guys get me Gundam Seed? I can only imagine.
But no, I mean, I played it. It's fun. It's like, I mean, obviously great gameplay. It's, you know, it's just Gundam Seed.
That's okay. Does it play like any of the others, or is it its own thing?
It's similar to like one of the sort of action titles, I guess, you know, kind of like a versus game, retro versus games. But
yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. And then Battle Assault 3. Featuring Gundam Seed, I guess the Battle Assault games originally on PS1.
Yeah, I never made it past Battle Assault 2. What about you?
No, I think I've played like the PSP versions, which we talk about how Shirt Lad is kind of a pro in those, because those kind of took that, if I remember correctly, that concept and kind of ran with it. So, okay, so then here's this Mobile Suit Gundam Climax UC, which this is so good. For so many reasons. One, the production value on it seems like it's through the roof in terms of music. Like, the selection of music, like the tutorial was playing Double Zeta. It's kind of that the weird off synth Double Zeta song.
Oh, gotcha.
That's kind of offbeat and it has the synth. It's really cool. And it was playing from Zeta, the more dance track. When I was doing, I think, the tutorial, and I was a Jagan in the tutorial, and Judo is teaching me how to pilot my mobile suit. Like, and it's,
that's not no who subtitles. I would want teaching me how to pilot a mobile suit.
And it's funny because there was no subtitles when he was talking. So, but I understood what he was saying because he said San one time, and that means three.
Okay.
Right. And I was like, oh, because I can charge this up three times. I felt so smart at that moment. No, but it was kind of funny. Because in the tutorial, it doesn't show you what to do. You have to listen to him and then do it. So it's cool that it has all that voice acting, but the controls are awesome because it has the right trigger does like a leaping thrust. A button is to like shoot yourself forward, back, left, right. And you can kind of like boost around and you can even double left and right for those quick boosts. So it has the maneuvering, but it also has it where X, or I guess that would be square because I was using a Xbox controller. It shoots, but if you hold it down and it fills up once, it's a powerful shot. If you hold it down and it fills up twice and you let go, it's your missiles. If you hold it down and it fills up three times, it does a lock on multiple. So it's a neat way to do the controls, but Y is your beam saber, which that's common.
Yeah.
And if you hold it down, it's like a homing charge. Sweet. B, I think, is grenades or missiles. And then I think the left trigger does like a centering. So like it auto locks, but then you can change the target and then center like if you've moved. And then right shoulder is Vulcans. So, and the other thing I loved about it so much, this is the cherry on top. The controls by default, and you can't change it, are inverted. That's like, that's, they know. I love it because
honestly, it's crazy because I used to play only inverted when I was in college. And then something about like when I became an old boomer dad, I was like, screw this.
It is funny how that works because I remember, and I'll always remember this, the game Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow.
Yes.
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, it included that multiplayer mode where you could be a mercenary, and I loved it, except you couldn't invert the controls, so I could never really play it. I always had a hard time.
Dude, whenever I would play, like, couch battles of, like, Halo 2, Halo 3, there were only two guys in my college group of friends that it was, like, me and my buddy Eirik were the only guys that played inverted. And so, you know, we had a rule where it was, like, you die, you give up your control. And so it was like, shit, let me change my controls.
Dude, that's so funny because with my youngest, that would happen where like I'll help him or he'll fill in for me. And we're like, oh, the controls, we got to switch them real quick.
Change them. Why do you have a default like this?
That's interesting. I find that very fascinating out of all like the controls, the most common. And it's not like, it's like that's something people have a preference on, but that's really it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like there's some other... Anyway.
And it's always inverted Y. Like, nobody plays inverted X.
Yeah.
So why would it... There's so many games that have the option to set inverted X, and it's like...
Yeah, it's... I know, it's funny. And I've noticed that with Japanese games, where sometimes the X will be inverted by default. And I'm like, why is this? But anyway, so this climax you see, though, playing it more, how it works is you're playing levels that have to do with the stories. I think it goes up through whatever the last thing that came out before Unicorn was, the last UC. I mean, there's MS Igloo up in that time period.
Yeah. I mean,
It has all the mainline Gundams. And so as you're playing the levels, once you beat the level, you can then go back and play it with any mobile suit you've unlocked.
Nice.
So it has that going on. Anyway, so if you guys haven't heard of this game, this is like they could release it today and we would all be happy. That's how good the controls felt. And
so now where would you place it in the ranking of PS2 Gundam games that you have played?
It has the best controls. That's
best
for sure.
Control. I mean,
and I think
the way that you've described the combat, like,
yeah.
It basically is like the best version of GBO2, where it's like instead of having to change your attack,
oh yeah, that's like just being able to like how you manipulate it. I like that. It's interesting because I would say it probably, because I really liked Encounters in Space, but I felt like I was sort of limited in a way, you know, because you know how you would, you know, move around, but it feels like it's more open in this. But anyway, and not only did it play the cool music from the shows, it also had its own music, which Gundam's good at, and it was good. Again, super surprised how good this... Yeah, because as when you play, you choose who your pilot is, and you choose... So you can be Camille, you know, in whatever. Or, you
might play as Camille.
Yeah. I would say check this out.
Awesome. That
okay. So SD Gundam G Generation Neo was on PS2. And then SD Gundam G Generation Seed, SD Gundam Force Showdown. That could be good. I don't know. MS Saga A New Dawn. This is that one we hear about often.
The one like that you and I refuse to play.
Yeah, one day we will. And then here's another thing. Gundam True Odyssey apparently is a sequel to A New Dawn that has deep connections to Gundam lore. I watched a video about it where it has like, it seems, I could be wrong, but it seems like it's stuff story related to UC, but it has this very like, the artwork is more something that would come from Castlevania or Metal Gear Solid, like in terms of like, it doesn't look like Gundam.
Okay.
And then Seed Federation for Zaf, that could be a verse game.
Yep.
Lost War Chronicles, which is a cool story.
Lost War Chronicles.
Yeah. Let's see. We're getting near the end here, but Oh, there's a 00 game. I would like to try that, actually, because we don't get much of that.
As much as I don't like 00, they are very underrepresented in video games.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think there's a 3DS game, and that's about it. A 3DS and PS2 game or something like that. Yeah. Or DS. And not, and then some more G Generation games. And then another Seed versus. And then, Mobile Suit Gundam Seed Destiny, a tactical RPG. Gundam Battle Royale. I think, that starts getting into the ones that are like on PSP.
Yeah, exactly.
Battle Chronicle.
Everything battle.
But what's cool is this Gundam Battle Universe focus on large-scale Gundam battles. I'll have to check that out because that's what I was just talking about earlier, the large-scale stuff, you know. But anyway, I kind of wanted to go through the PS2 games because, like you were mentioning, it's like a golden era. There were so many awesome Gundam games. Some of them didn't age that well, but some of them surprisingly have. Like Encounters in Space plays great. You know what? Even Zionic Front plays great, but it plays intentionally the way it does.
It's funny. I love that you're bringing up Climax, like UC Climax, because I feel like every week there's a YouTuber that's like Zionic Front, the hidden gem of Gundam games that no one's ever heard of. And I'm like, yeah, we all know Zionic Front. But ironically, nobody knows like UC Climax. And so the fact that it's a game that you're talking about, like maybe you do need to make that video. You need to say, this is the game that no Gundam fan is talking about. Literally, it's true. Like we're not just doing clickbait like, oh, it's the forgotten game that nobody played. And it's like, Rise from the Ashes. We all played Zionic Front. Stop talking about them.
And it's funny because if more people did, I would have definitely played this over some other ones. I think it's that thing when things are Japanese only, like the Wii game that's Japanese only, but it has its own story.
The 3D battle on the 3D on the DS.
That's another good example. Japanese only
that game. Really you put me onto that, and I was like, this is great.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, cool. More gaming suggestions for everybody. Of course, that's what we need. I guess that's going to be it. You know, thanks all. Robert, I saw you in the chat talking to everyone. Jim Killex, Ultronimus, Alan Mitchell, Ian, everyone else that was able to join. Thank you so much. This was a good time. Can't wait to talk more next week. Steven, anything to add?
No, man. Good time. Thank you all so much for tuning in.
Yeah. Be safe with the cold weather. We'll talk to you all later.